Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Mean Green Nation podcast, and we're coming to you delayed on the normal podcast delay. It's a Tuesday night. I hope everyone had a nice New Year's Eve, and you drank responsibly. You didn't operate any heavy machinery and the like. You stayed warm. It's been cold out. All that good stuff, because there's lots of North Texas sports to look at, to follow, to obsess over. And we're switching gears a little bit. Now that, like, all of the football stuff, at least a major portion of it, is done, you know, played in the New Orleans Bowl, lost in the New Orleans Bowl, went out and recruited some people, right? Seth Luttrell's out here tweeting, retweeting people. So, you know, it's a lull time, and it's time to turn our attention to basketball. And we're bringing on old friend, contributed to Mean Green Nation, Mr. Greg Godecker. How are you doing this fine evening?
I'm doing well, sir. Like you said, I'm just trying to stay warm. It is a very chilly day up here in the parts of North Texas.
You ain't lying, man. You ain't lying. It's cold up here, down here in San Antonio too. That's where Mean Green Nation headquarters is.
You spend enough time outside these past couple days, you have trouble talking.
it's like 32 degrees. I don't live in San Antonio, so I can freeze, guys, you know. So let's talk some basketball. It was a big week last week, beginning of conference play, and North Texas is 2-0. Went to UTEP, to El Paso, got a win, went down to San Antonio, here in San Antonio, stole a win. It was dramatic, it was fun. I think everybody has some good feelings now about it. You do a little checking, because everybody does this, right? College basketball began, you know, a couple months ago, and nobody really pays attention too closely. And, you know, as not that you should, because, you know, there's not a whole lot going on. It's everybody's kind of feeling each other out, especially for a team at our level. The conference season, the conference tournament is what matters, because we're not going to get an at-large bid in our current condition. And so a lot of this right now is kind of build up for the tournament, for conference play, for tournament time, so that way we can earn a bid to the big show that away. Am I lying, Mr. Godecker?
Well, I mean, if you're a basketball fan, the early months provide, you know, those some unique matchups. You know, there's some good basketball games out there to watch, you know, Duke taking on powerhouses from the Big Ten, you know, the ACC Big Ten matchup. There's always something good to watch, and you have those tournaments around the Thanksgiving holidays, the feast week. There's always good basketball out there, but like you said, for a team of our caliber, the non-conference schedule and our opponents is all about preparing us for conference play. And I mean, I think you would agree, we faced a pretty tough non-conference schedule. We competed well. We didn't, you know, pull off a big upset per se. You know, we didn't beat Oklahoma or Georgia Tech, but I mean, we competed well against those teams.
Yeah, I agree. And I think everybody liked what they saw. I mean, we saw North Texas go up against Trae Young, Oklahoma's own, right? Well, he's not from Oklahoma, but he's, you know, on our team. And he's probably the best player in college basketball, or at least the most exciting player in college basketball right now. And I think North Texas availed themselves well out there. I mean, we only lost by 10. It was a good loss. Yeah, I don't like that terminology, but it was. It was a good loss. I don't know. I mean, UTSA did the same thing, and they only lost by 12 to Oklahoma. And, right, you know, we beat UTSA. I guess for a lot of people, they're just tuning into basketball, and they haven't been following it as closely as you have. And I know I haven't been following it as closely as you have. So give us the setup, right? You know, take us around the room, introduce us to this basketball team. You know, what should we know? You know, who should we be excited about, et cetera, et cetera.
I think the first guy you got to start with is a guy that wasn't on the team last year, is Roosevelt Smart. I mean, he's come in and absolutely taken over the program. He's been the guy that we've kind of been missing the past couple of years, where when the offense gets bogged down and things aren't going our way, there's Roosevelt Smart out there hitting a three or driving to the lane and making a tough basket, you know, getting fouled, getting to the free throw line. he's been the one guy that's been, he wasn't consistent early on in the season, but as it's progressed, I mean, he's putting up 20, you know, 30 points, you know, he's hitting tons of threes. He takes a lot of threes, but he hits a lot of threes. I mean, he's been everything that we thought he was and more. You know, I wasn't sure that he would be able to score the way he has, but I mean, he's fit in really well with the offense, with the coaching staff, with the, you know, new players around him. So I think everything starts with Roosevelt Smart. And then from there, you know, the two guys that a lot of people had a lot of excitement for coming into the season, A.J. Lawson, Ryan Woolridge, both those guys, they've had their moments. Woolridge has played really well. He's done a little bit of everything in almost every single game. I mean, he rebounds, assists. You know, he gets, you know, a few steals here and there. He controls the game. When he's playing really well and he's controlling the game, North Texas is at its best. And, you know, he struggled to hit some outside shots, but against UTSA, he hit a few. But that dude, you know, if he ever develops a consistent jumper or a three-point shot, he's going to be unguardable because you can't stay in front of him. I haven't seen anybody who's truly, you know, been man on him, you know, up in his grill, that's been able to stay in front of him. You know, early in the season, in one of the previews that I read, Grant, Coach Mack McCaslin said that, you know, he was the fastest guy in America with the ball in his hands. And, I mean, I'd be willing to put that argument out there. I mean, the dude gets – when he wants to get to the bucket, he can. And then you go down the list to A.J. Lawson, and he's kind of struggled. He hasn't really – found his niche in this offense, his groove, but he's made some big shots. I mean, you know, the shot, you know, against Indiana State, the three-pointer to send it into overtime, you know, the layup, the drive, the tough shot against UTSA, the final of the game-winning basket. So he's been clutch, but he hasn't been consistent. You know, he's got to be a guy that scores in double figures every night if we're going to challenge those elites in Conference USA. So those are kind of the top three guys that are out there for the team. And then you start looking into the role players. Shane Tamara, he's been a really good senior, good leader. He gets yelled at a ton. Obviously, he pisses Coach off an enormous amount of time, but you know, he's been solid in the pick and pop game and in the corner threes. He's added that extra shooter for us on the outside, you know, losing the point guard, backup point guard Gibson the second week or the second game of the year. He's kind of helped with some of the outside shooting. And then you got guys like, you know, Alante Holston, you know, he's been playing. He started out playing really well at the beginning of the year and was scoring a lot more than I thought he would. He's kind of tapered off, but again, his length and athleticism, the 6'7", you know, he can play guard for it. He can kind of play that stretch four for them when they need him. He can't really stretch it and shoot it, but he's definitely athletic and can guard, you know, a wide range of people. He just needs to be more aggressive, I think, in getting to the basket, but he's played well. And you got the freshman Zach Simmons, who's, you know, had a good stretch in non-conference towards the middle of it, then kind of tapered off, and he's had his moments, you know, where he's looked lost in games, and then he comes up with a big play, you know. He comes up with a big rebound or a big block. So he's a freshman settling in. You know, Jordan Duffy, he had the injury early on in the season, so he didn't really get a chance to practice much. He started to get into his groove in the UTA game, and then he hurt his knee again. He had the bruised knee, and they got him back for Georgetown. He's just kind of been off. He's been a little bit rusty. He hasn't gotten back to himself, and that's the guy I think that's the X factor guy, because they haven't had a lot of scoring off their bench, and I think he's the one guy off the bench that could really provide a lift. You know, a guy that, because he's a good shooter, just hasn't, he was starting to find it, then he lost it. You know, it's tough when you got, you know, multiple injuries in a season. But he's definitely a guy that on any given night, I could see him pouring in, you know, 15 to 20 points.
Yeah, I'm angry with you there.
And then, you know, Tope, the JUCO, you know, forward, Man, sometimes I wish that they would play him more, give him more back-to-back minutes, because I feel like he's the only post guy that can score with his back to the basket. He's made some nice moves, but again, he's been a liability at times, you know, on the defensive end, and he doesn't, you know, he kind of clogs up the lane a little bit on offense because he's not really, you know, that traditional stretch it out, you know, Simmons does the same thing, but still, I think that he may not fully figure it, Tope might not fully figure it out this year, but next year I think he'll be really good enough. He'll be in the mix to be playing a lot, especially with Tamara graduating. Then you got DJ Draper, who some people were expecting a lot from, and I don't know, you know, he's got some talent. He can make outside shots, and that's what he needs to do. I feel like sometimes he comes in the game and plays a little bit too scared. Like he doesn't want to make a mistake and get pulled out. You know, he just kind of passed. You know, there was one possession, I think it was in the Indiana State game, where he passed up like four shots and then ended up turning the ball over. And that was frustrating for me to watch. You know, when you're a shooter and you're in the game to shoot, you know, shoot the ball. Yeah. Unless, you know, Coach McCaslin, you know, specifically said you don't shoot. But, I mean, he's a shooter, so why wouldn't he tell him not to shoot?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's – I'm trying to think if I missed anybody.
No, I think you hit everybody there. I mean, there's some other guys, but they haven't played, you know, a major role in the team so far. I think that's a good little overview, a good space to kick off a conversation. I mean, just – kind of just no, with no particular order. Yeah, Ryan Woolridge is a baller. He's fun to watch. And, you know, that whole thing, I got a chance to see him for the first time when they came down to San Antonio and played the UTSA game. Well, second time, but, you know, watching guys play in front of you and with your eyes and not on the TV screen, you get a sense of how good they really are. And, I mean, the kid's good. I mean, what I like is that he plays good defense too, and you know, a lot of like generic basketball fans, it's not really a knock on anybody, but you know, you watch the ball on offense, you really watch it on defense. He's a good defender. I like he's active, and you know, he plays both sides of the ball with the same intensity, and I liked it. I like Ryan Woolridge. I'm a fan. He was clutch in that UTSA game because he hit two huge three pointers, and you were mentioning, you know, kind of sometimes. Yeah, you know, North Texas gets stuck on offense because we have, like, some lane cloggers. When you have a guy that clogs the lane and you have a Ryan Woolridge playing and he's playing 40 minutes a game, basically, you can't, that's an offense killer. It's two guys that, you know, that they can just sit in the paint. You know what I mean? The defense is like, we're just going to stand back here and basically guard Ryan Woolridge and whoever is hanging out in the paint not really doing anything with, you know, the two guys here and make it difficult for everybody. And it's no coincidence that North Texas pulled away a little bit. I think it got to like 6 or 8 when, you know, Ryan was hitting those open jumpers. You really, that's going to open up the offense. He doesn't have to be the kid from Wofford, you know, the guy that's just firing threes like crazy.
Yeah.
He don't have to be that. He just, you know, just 35% from three. That's it. You know, catch and shoot. He doesn't need to be Steph Curry. We don't need to run any three-point plays on him. But if he stands there, does a nice little catch and shoot, I mean, he has a good shot. He has good form. It just, you know, he's just not making them at the same level as, like, a Smart or a Duffy. But, I mean, he just needs to keep him honest. And, yeah, like you said, he's going to be tough for Conference USA squads to guard.
Yeah, you know, it's a guard-dominated league in Conference USA. There's not a lot of – I mean, it's a guard-dominated sport now. Yeah. But, you know, specifically in Conference USA, there's a lot of good guards out there. And Woolridge is, you know, he could be one of the top guards in Conference USA just because of everything that he does. The assist, you know, you said he's a good defender. I view him as one of those opportunistic defenders, you know, kind of the guys that they're not, you know, a lockdown, you know, man-to-man type of defender, but they anticipate a lot. They get in the passing lanes and, you know, they jump – you know, things that they see kind of happening, you know, guys that study film a lot, you know, those are guys that end up being opportunistic defenders. And I see that in Woolridge.
Yeah. So, like, was it Javon Jackson, the dude from UTSA? You know, he's a quick guy and he likes to shoot. And he likes to, you know, to dribble a lot and create his own shot. He was able to do that, but Woolridge made him work for it. And that's what I liked about it. You know, like, he didn't let him get into rhythm. And I don't know that that directly contributed to, you know, to Jackson missing some free throws there. But he didn't make him comfortable all game. And I think that, you know, that means something. And, you know, like, basketball is an offensive sport, you know. Like, it doesn't matter what you could do defensively. You can always get a shot off, right? Even if it's just from, you know, inbounding the ball and just chucking it up there. You could always throw the ball up at the rim. And so you can only make it difficult for the offensive player. And, you know, that's kind of what I like about him, is that he didn't make it easy. He didn't let Jackson get off an easy shot. He made him take some tough ones. He had to push off a bunch of times. And Jackson, to his credit, made a couple of those. But, you know, he made him work. And that's number one of a defender is, like, are you playing good defense? Like, are you in your stance? Are you working? Are you sliding your feet? And I like that he does that. That's the key. That's all you can do. And, I mean, he does all that he can do. So I like that. He had 8 steals last season against UTSA. And you're talking about opportunistic. This is ridiculous, right? What do you have, 41 on the year last year? I don't know what his numbers are this year.
He's had games where he's played well and got some steals, but, you know, it hasn't been that, like I was saying, that man-on-man. It's been, picking passes off and getting into the fast break. And that's one part of the defense that hasn't necessarily been there yet that I thought would be, has been the turnovers. We haven't really forced a ton of turnovers yet this year in a game. You know, UTSA got into turnover trouble in the second half that allowed North Texas to come back. But a big proponent of that was because we started to control the pace and we made UTSA play, you know, more of a half-court game other than, you know, the free-flowing, you know, fast break what they're accustomed to. Yeah. And that kind of forced them into, you know, ugly passes and turning the ball over. But, you know, in our half-court defense, we hadn't put a lot of pressure on, you know, ball handlers and whatnot, and created a lot of steals like that. So, you know, it'd be interesting to watch, because Charlotte is a team that they just turned the ball over like 22 times against Old Dominion, and that's kind of like high school level. So,
yeah, I mean,
see if we can't do that.
Charlotte's bad. They're like one of the worst teams in the conference. The only one maybe worse is like Rice or something like that.
I mean, you could point to, you know, Southern Miss is pretty bad, and I think FIU is a bad team. FAU is pretty good. There could be middle tier. FIU, Southern Miss, Rice just lost a lot, lost their coach, and that was a tough situation, because they were a program that, you know, is kind of where we are now. Yeah. You know, they had a good young coach, had a good nucleus. And then that kind of all fell apart when their coach went back to VCU.
So, what we got? We got Charlotte coming up. We got Old Dominion coming up, both at home. Give everybody, like, an idea. Like, you know, it was a big win against UTSA. They were big because they're conference wins. And, you know, we were famously inept last season in conference play. So, is this like an indicator that we're, you know, good? Is it an indicator that, you know, Grant McGaslin is just so much of a better coach than Tony Benford, just because, you know, he got a couple of 1-point wins on the road? And, you know, you can maybe argue that it was bad basketball. Like, I mean, we almost allowed, you know, we turned the ball over, almost allowed UTEP to win the game. And, you know, we didn't hit the free throw, and we allowed UTSA 2 shots to win the game, right? One, it was a great block by Shane Tomorrow. It was pretty clutch there. And then the second one was just, you know, a missed shot by, was it DeLeo, the UTSA point guard kid? I mean, for my part, I'll go ahead and answer the question before, you know, I put it to you. I think that you can tell that this team is a more of a team and has a direction. You know, it has a velocity, right? It's moving in the direction. You can see clearly the direction this team wants to be. There are coaching changes. You can see that we're like reacting to the situation and not just kind of, you know, throwing guys out there and say, well, play basketball. And, you know, whether or not it works is something different than, you know, you can see it going in that direction. Because once you keep going in a direction, you get better at it. Right? You can see improvement happening, like you can envision it happening. So I think these kinds of wins are good for that. They kind of help you out. Like, wow, we won and we were doing exactly what we want to do. It's a reward and kind of keeps you going in that same direction. But I don't think that a loss in either of these two games would diminish the progress that has been made. Do you agree? Do you disagree?
No, I don't think it would diminish. I wouldn't be shocked to see them lose to Charlotte just because we're not 100% certain of how this team's going to handle success yet. You know, they had the huge win in overtime against San Diego, and then, you know, but they had to travel, you know, back home, and then you're traveling from the West Coast to the East Coast and you're playing Georgetown. So that could have contributed there because they got off.
Yeah, so you think that maybe, you know, you don't know how they're going to handle these wins. I think that's a good point. I mean, they came out against UTSA, and, you know, they got hit in the mouth a little bit. You know, like some of that was UTSA getting ready. You know, they felt good, and you know, they're an explosive offensive team. You know, they scored, 80-something points a game. They play at a high pace, so, you know, some of that, you got to give UTSA their credit. But, I mean, I think I understand your point there. You're like, you know, how well does this team, you know, respond to success? We don't know that yet. And, you know, A.J. Lawson was not, what's the word? He was not he was not making Coach Mack happy in shoot around. Apparently he didn't come out with the right attitude or something like that. And, I mean, he ended up having a good game, but, you know, he needed some coaching up there. So I think I take your point.
You know, Lawson struggled in the first half against UTSA, and so did Woolridge. Both those guys were kind of non-existent, and then in the second half they picked up. But, yes, so Charlotte is kind of the trap game of the week because Old Dominion, that's a serious Conference USA contender. They're playing at a very high level. They're, you know, number one in offensive and defensive efficiency in the conference. I would say that their pace, their styles are very similar to North Texas. But they're just, you know, they've always been a really good defensive team. And that's the same thing this year. They're a really good defensive team. Can they beat Middle Tennessee, Western Kentucky? You know, can they compete with that group? I don't know. Maybe on any given night, you know, or in the conference tournament, anything can happen. But they're definitely in the top tier. So, you know, do we get caught looking ahead to a huge Saturday matchup, you know, you look past Charlotte, and then you're looking to Old Dominion, you know, hey, we could start off 4-0 in conference and really take, you know, have people take notice. I could see them losing to Charlotte and Old Dominion, and I could see them beating both. I think that's very possible. Anything's up in the air with this young team because they compete so well. You know, they got hit in the mouth against UTSA, and you were like, well, you know, it's going to be a tough night for us. No, I mean, those guys bounced back. They battled back. They got the game going in their pace, their style, and they won a close game. That's the type of game, if it was a close game regardless last year, they wouldn't close it out. They wouldn't be able to finish. This year they finish. They've got guys that can make clutch shots. So, I mean, they're capable of winning both these games, and, you know, they might lose both of them. If they come out and lose to Charlotte on, you know, Thursday night, I could see them also beating Old Dominion on Saturday. But it's going to be interesting to follow their mentality from here out because everybody is taking notice. Everybody is noticing that this is a team that, hey, you better bring, you know, your A game to play them, you know, whenever you are. If you're Western Kentucky, if you're Middle Tennessee, you're UAB, you're Old Dominion, you're one of those top-tier teams, you better come out to play, regardless if it's on your court or you're playing at UNT, because these guys are going to battle you.
Yeah, you know, speaking about that, like, I was thinking about the end of that UTSA game, and, I mean, you know, there was a couple misses that could have sealed the game, basically, could have won it. But what I liked is that they played hard defensively, you know, and I hear my old coach in my head saying, you know, you can control your effort and your defense, right? Even if your shot's not falling. And, you know, I like that they did that. You know, we don't really have, like, a super awesome defense. We don't have, like, you know, like a team full of, like, Golden State athletes. But we got a bunch of guys that, you know, they all compete. I think, you know, you listed everybody. Nobody there was giving a bad effort. Nobody's a really weak link defensively. Even though sometimes some people get yelled at because they're out of position or, you know, this, that, and the other. I mean, I think, you know, Shane Tamara, I mean, I don't know what everybody thinks about him. I think everybody kind of just likes him. You know, he's pretty solid. He gets a lot of putback shots. I mean, he, you know, he can shoot. He can step out and shoot it. But I think what people didn't really know that he had was, like, you know, a little bit of a defensive game there. I mean,
yeah.
He was controlling the paint there. That was pretty great. He made it. He blocked one, and then he made that second shot by I forget who it was, the point guard, right? He made that tough on him, and I mean, he got some luck. The ball just went a little too high. There was a putback attempt, and you know that was gone. But you know, if he doesn't make it tough on him, then you know that's an easy bucket there.
Yeah, and then that point guard for UTSA, he had been making that shot all night.
Yeah,
you know that he'd been consistently going to his right and getting those layups or those little floaters off the glass.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean the shot that he blocked, I didn't see that coming. You know, that was one that kind of, you know, shocked me a little bit. Happy it happened, but you know, that's it never ceases to amaze me so far this year with this team is that, you know, every game something, you know, pops up where, you know, you've been on a guy all game and you're kind of like, man, this guy's just, it's just not his night. And then bam, he pulls out the play.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Roosevelt Smart was carrying that team in that first half. I mean, he was just getting to the line, just getting points. He's like, you know, the definition of a scorer. Like, you're like, what did he do exactly? I mean, he got a couple of scoop layups, but it was mostly he just drawed fouls and, you know, just kept the team in it that way. You know, that also limited UTSA because they couldn't just get up and down the floor and start running. Playing their game, shooting threes, you know, in transition because, you know, they're taking the ball out the basket because of free throws. I mean, there was a lot of luck involved in that game. And, you know, but I think you have to put yourself in a position to benefit from that luck, right? I mean, if you don't pressure Javon Jackson, if you don't keep making it tough on UTSA, then, you know, his free throw, bad free throw. And I think he came out after the game and started shooting some free throws after, yeah, like Kobe, I mean, Bryant's time.
He's a good player. He's going to be one of Conference USA's best players down the line. So, you know, don't expect him to come to Denton at the end of the year and miss, you know, seven or eight free throws. He'll probably make all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing is that, like, if on the night that he does miss them all, you better put yourself in, you know, in position to take advantage of it. Otherwise, you just, you know, you just wasted a night. So, yeah, it's early days. Early days, you know, in the McGaslin era. You know, we don't quite know what, you know, kind of recruits he's going to bring in. I mean, because, you know, like, he's only coached two seasons. One's good at Arkansas State. And so far this has done well, but we haven't really seen him build a full-on program at this level just yet. And so, you know.
He doesn't have, you know, in terms of recruiting right now, doesn't have a lot of scholarships to work with. He's really got one for next year. So that kind of, you got to be very selective and what exactly, you know, Shane Tamara is a guy that's, you know, going to go. He could have another one if Fuller decides, you know, he wants to check out the program or whatever the case is, or somebody else feels like they need to transfer. But right now, it's just one. It's the Shane Tamara, you know, scholarship. And they could use another stretch four At this point, they do have the Russian big man. You know, he got cleared. They're going to redshirt him this year, so he'll be there next year. And they have the other kid that transferred from Arkansas State, other Simmons, on the roster. And he's a guy. He's not a tall guy. He's like 6'4", and you'd think he'd be a guard, but he does most of his damage around the basket. You know, kind of. I don't know if any of the fans, you know, are reminded like a PJ Tucker type of guy.
I remember PJ Tucker. Yeah, I mean,
that's kind of, you know, he lives around the basket. So if you're looking at, okay, well, you know, next year we get the Russian kid, we get Simmons, we get Gibson back, the point guard, you know, where exactly, what are we looking for? You know, it's probably, you know, if Tope doesn't develop, then maybe you're looking for another big. But again, bigs are tough. That's a tough find, so...
Yeah, finding a quality big man is the question of college basketball, or basketball anywhere, really. So, I mean, you know, that's, you can't really knock them for not finding a do-it-all Karl Anthony Towns, you know what I mean?
No, and I think that's why his system is successful. It's because there's a lot of interchangeable parts. You know, A.J. Lawson can play four. Holston can play four. You know, A.J. Lawson can play the two. He can play the three. You know, they can move. You know, he could play the one when Woolridge, you know, if he gets in foul trouble, they can put the ball in his hands and let him go to work. So there's a lot of interesting pieces, you know, going forward in the direction of this team. You know, they're young group, getting better every single week, every single game that you watch. You know, they're fun to watch. I mean, it's such a complete 180 from last year. It's such refreshing, like you said, to watch a team that has a direction. You know, when this team comes out of a timeout and you can watch the play actually develop, it, they draw up, you know, against UTSA. It's a critical point in the game. They have a timeout, come out of it. They run their inbounds play, and it gets an open three for Roosevelt Smart. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was nice. And then, you know, the zone. UTSA threw a zone at them. And we knew it was going to happen. It's going to happen all year. You know, there was one point they come out of a timeout and they get into their dribble drive motion stuff. And the way that they attacked it out of the timeout was just, it was beautiful to watch because they collapsed the zone. You know, it was Woolridge attack, got two on him. He kicked it out. But when he was kicking it out, the next guy that was going to catch the kick out pass, he was already cutting in. And then that guy got stopped, and he kicked it out to the next guy who was also already coming in. So they just compressed the zone, and they got an easy look at basket. I mean, it was so nice to watch. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, I mean, this is good basketball. This is what people should go to the Super Pit to watch. This is not Tony Benford, you know, yak it up type of stuff. This is really good stuff to watch. They're a young team, so I mean, you know, if you haven't been out to see them, go out. You know, Thursday night, I'm hoping that there's a good crowd, but Saturday there should be a really good crowd.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was one thing about, I mean, UTSA has a bad gym, but they've tried to improve it. I mean, you know, I've been a few games there over the years now, and you know, they had a decent little crowd there. I think it was like 1,000 people, especially for a Saturday night. And I mean, it reminded me of those days, at the Super Pit, and I can see them coming back. You know, for a while there in the Benford era, we were, you know, wondering when those days were going to come back, if ever. And, you know, I can see that. I can see this team, you know, getting some wins and, you know, we fill up the pit again. That'd be amazing. Cause, you know, I love college basketball because it's the only sport, like the revenue sport there, right? You know, I'm talking about football and basketball, where if you have a miracle season, you can win a national championship. I mean, we just saw UCF this year, right? You know, they had a miracle season. They're not, you know, they won a mythical national championship. They declared themselves national champions, but I mean, you know, their season's over. They went 13-0, undefeated, and they're not playing for the title. If North Texas were to go undefeated in basketball, that means they win a national championship, right? It means they win the Final Four. It means that's what happens. And that's the great thing about this sport, as silly as it is and, you know, as corrupt as it could be sometimes. I mean, but, you always get a chance, and that's one of the great things about it. And you know, like that's the cool part is that basketball when it's fun, it's real fun. You know, it's like all the best parts of like the NBA. You go to I guess everybody goes to AAC or something like that, but it's cheaper. It's a lot cheaper, and it's more passionate, and you know. There's the emotional connection that you don't really quite have to, like, the pros, you know what I mean? Because these guys all chose the school that, you know, you chose also. Y'all wearing the green. Y'all at least crossed the same campus at least one time, even if they live completely different lives than you do. There's something special about college basketball. And, you know, when it's fun, it's real fun.
Yeah, I mean, especially for the fans. When it's fun, it is real fun, and like you said, I mean, even if you don't get to a national championship, you know, imagine if we went to, like, the Sweet 16 or something, or, you know, you pulled off an upset of a, you know, 15-2 seed or something like that. I guess people talking, you know, people notice those type of things, and, you know, national media be like, okay, hey, look out for North Texas, because they're... You know, they're a team that, you know, they can get you, you know.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, you wear North Texas around and they're like, hey, you guys pulled off that huge upset. You busted my bracket or something like that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like it's like the Butlers, right, before they got real good. But like Butler, even, Gonzaga for a while there. All these little mid-major teams that everybody remembers, you know, they pull off the upset. They didn't win any national titles. Like, you know what I mean? They didn't win the title. They didn't win the Final Four. But, you know, they pulled off a special game in the tournament. And it's like they won. I mean, like Florida Gulf Coast, they were dunking on over everybody. And,
yeah.
I mean... Nobody knew that Florida Gulf Coast was a university, where the university was, but, you know, it was Dunk City there for a while, and, you know, that's a special time.
And, Gonzaga used to be my team. I mean, they're like my second team, but they, you know, Casey Calvary, Dan Dickow, man, that was, and then they, you know, eventually grew into the Adam Morrison years, but man, I used to stay up late watching that West Coast Conference basketball.
Yeah, I mean... I stayed up late and watched a lot of college basketball when I was in college. Also, I can't do it anymore now that I'm old and crusty. But I mean, you old listener, you're young, right? Maybe you're 21 years old, staying up late. You know, get into some college basketball. It's still fun. I don't know if it's as fun anymore. I was talking to my wife right now. They're like hyping up some Big Ten game, and I was like, you know. It used to be, and this is where I sound like an old. It used to be that you knew who was on these teams because you know they were around for at least 3 years, right? Three, four.
Oh,
years.
Yeah, man.
Now you're saying,
yeah, man. It used to be all about Big Monday, Super Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
That was it, man. There was a couple games that I would go to. You know, my sister went to UT, so going to some of the big Monday games with her, like a Texas-Kansas matchup, like a TJ Ford. Yeah. And he was facing off against Drew Gooden and was it Collison? You know, those guys that were around for 3 or 4 years before going pro. I mean, yeah, those were good times.
Yeah, I never liked Nick Collison just because of those years.
I hated Kansas fans then, and I hate them now. It's like one of the worst fan bases. I cannot stand Kansas people. Ugh.
Well, I mean, the good news, I guess, is that the good and bad news, maybe, right, is that North Texas is not going to really have any one-and-done kind of guys here now. We still have some of these, you know, like Keith Frazier played, you know, season. Now he's at UTEP, and now he's taking a leave of absence. You know, was that three teams for him in his basketball career? You know, there is some of that, but I mean, Woolridge is still here, right? And I can see him playing all four of his years here. I can see him maybe even leaving if he gets real good, gets maybe too good, but I can see him staying 4 years here. I mean, Smart was, you know, I can see him finishing his career here. They're, you know, this is a level of basketball where you can get 2-3 year guys, and so you can, you know, build some affection for these dudes. And it's, you know, I think that's okay. That's about as good as you're gonna get in 2018 and beyond.
Mid majors, the good mid majors, and I'm not talking like the Gonzaga level, those elite ones that can recruit now. But, you know, like a Middle Tennessee or whatnot, those guys, those are four-year guys. You know, even if you want to go smaller, you know, a North Dakota State or whatever, some of those, you know, Belmont type of teams, they're getting four-year guys. And so the majority of their team, you know, they start out as freshmen and they play their way together, and you'll see them get into the tournament, you know, even like a Mercer, where, you know, they got five seniors playing on the floor. They played together, you know, all 4 years together, and then they pull off an upset. So the model of building your team is to have consistency in the roster. The next step, and I think this is where Coach McCaslin can take North Texas to another level, is those JUCOs and the transfers. Like, I think he's a good JUCO recruiter. So you can get, you know, you can build the majority of your roster in four-year guys, but then you get, let's say you get an impact transfer, or you get an impact JUCO guy who's, you know, really good. Then that takes you to, you know, being a team that could get in the tournament. Now you're a team that can win a game in the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I'm not going to repeat a lot of your points there. That's kind of what I'm looking at, McGaslin. I'm kind of hoping that we get to. I mean, the years that was at 2009, 2010, the Johnny Jones years, we didn't have a whole lot of transfers. I mean, you know, Josh White was a four-year guy. Tristan Thompson was a four-year guy. They carried the team. I mean, everybody remembers those guys. They remember all the good times. Seems like they were there forever because they were. They won a couple titles. Well, they won a Sun Belt title, and they got to another one, another game. I think we can get back to those days. And then once we get back to those kinds of days, like competing seriously for conference championships, then we can worry about the next step. I'm not saying, no, it's not. Basically, it's not put the cart before the horse kind of deal, right? I'm just excited about this team right now. I'm excited about real basketball being in Denton again, and some competent basketball. And what do you think this team could do? I know you just kind of said all this, but what do you think this team could do this season in the Conference USA tournament? What is a realistic expectation?
I think a realistic expectation is to win one game, and then you're going to get up against one of them really good teams, one of them top five teams. And then that would be where I'd say, okay, we got a chance to pull off the upset, but I wouldn't expect this to. I really think that they're going to have a winning record in the year, and I think that they'll win their first game in Conference USA Tournament. But then that next round, that might be their where they hit the wall. So you got to remember, we don't have a lot of depth either. So it's right. Going to take, you know, Ryan Woolridge is playing 40 minutes a game right now. It's going to take its toll on him. And yeah, it's not up and down basketball, but even if you play a grinding style of basketball, that can wear a player out too.
Yeah, I mean, so, I was making that point that, like, you know, he does not push. He brings the ball up, which is not super difficult unless a team is, like, pressuring you or something like that. But he's really our only guy that can break the press. And then beyond that, you know, we're calling on him and, like, well, we need some offense. Ryan, can you please break down your guy, attack the basket, and, you know, try to get something happening, even just to create some offense, right, to open up something for another guy. That takes you know, a toll. And I think if we keep asking them to do a lot of that, especially as we get into tournament time or something, that could be bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, you never know. I think that they could win one game. They'll win one game for sure. That's what I say. And it wouldn't surprise me if they won two, but I wouldn't call for it yet. I think you got to wait and see. Where are we at going into the tournament? Are we hot and healthy? If we're hot and healthy, I mean, we could win. We could get to the championship game. I don't doubt that at all. I mean, this team, they're competitive with everybody. They've shown that they could play with Oklahoma. They've shown that they could play with Georgetown. UTA has struggled, you know, in Sun Belt play, which is kind of surprising. But at the time when they were top, you know, mid-major program, we showed that we could play with them with limited numbers. So, I mean, if we're on fire and we're rolling, we play the style of basketball that kind of gives people fits.
Yeah, you know? I like it.
You know, you slow the game down. It's, you know, not a lot of teams have been able to get. UTSA in that first half was the first time in a while that I've seen a team get North Texas to be uncomfortable in the pace. And the second half, they kind of rebounded and did better with their control and the tempo. But the way that North Texas, you know, they play, like I said, I mean, they have a shot every night.
So this week, just one more time, Charlotte, Old Dominion, Thursday, Saturday. You know, what's your gut tell you? We're 7-6, 2-0 in conference. How are we going to end this week when we're podcasting next week talking about it? What do you think? Two home games.
I think we beat Charlotte. I think we should beat Charlotte by 15, but I think we end up beating them by like 5 or 6. I think it'll be an ugly kind of game. Like I said, I think they'll play it down to the level of Charlotte. And then the Old Dominion game, boy, I want to pick us so bad in that game. Like I want to just keep feeling the momentum, but I think Old Dominion will get them. I think they'll win one and they'll lose to Old Dominion.
What is Old Dominion with? 10-3, 1-0 in conference. They beat Dayton, Towson.
Yeah, they're just a good, solid. You know, they're kind of like what we could become.
Yeah,
that good defensive team. I would say we lose to Old Dominion by. It's gonna be a close game. We'll lose by 3 or 4 points. Yeah, miss some free throws down the stretch.
Yeah, I think. I mean, we're still super reliant on Roosevelt Smart to do all of everything scoring wise, and you know that's not going to change. And you know, I think some of the better teams are better at taking a good player out the game.
You know, the one thing that's bothered us has been length, and I don't think Charlotte or Old Dominion have the length to. And it's really been Roosevelt Smart. Like, when he's had to go up against, like, a 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", guard, they put him on him. Like, okay, he struggles to get a shot off. Which, I mean, we would all struggle to do that. Like, Nebraska and Georgetown, those two teams really got to him. I don't think Old Dominion or Charlotte are going to affect him that way. Old Dominion is just going to play good team defense. So... yeah, we're gonna. It may get to a point where we have to rely on him, and it may break down in that way. But somebody's always been there to step up. You know, when he struggled in the first half or something, it was Shane DeMara. It could be Ryan Woolridge. It could be, you know, AJ Lawson gets hot. It just always seems to work out that there's one guy there for that moment to carry us until everybody else kind of starts to pick up the slack.
Yeah, and I think that has been the really fun part of this team. All right, I think, you know, we talked an hour about this basketball team that we all like. I mean, have you been following the women's team at all? You got any women's basketball team thoughts? They're doing good.
They're doing good. I mean, they got a great coach. We all know that she's got it going over there. So, yeah, I haven't, you know, paid a lot of attention to them. I just see that they win. And they, you know, we had Roosevelt Smart was the Conference USA Player of the Week, and I believe that they had one as well too on the women's side. It might have been the Freshman of the Week.
Yeah, it was Holmes, Lauren Holmes, Freshman of the Week. Yeah, so they've been good. Women's basketball team has been good. They're good. It's pretty amazing that we've had you know, all of a sudden we got two good basketball teams again. It's amazing what a good coach can do, huh?
It is. It really is. So, I mean, stay tuned. Things are gonna get fun and interesting again.
By the way, the women's team, they play at Louisiana Tech. Was it tomorrow? Yeah, tomorrow. And then on the 5th, which is, when is the 5th? Is that Friday? Yeah,
Friday.
Yeah, Friday. They play at home against Rice. So there you go. Women's basketball talk. Hey, you got any thoughts on the football team? I know we haven't had you on to talk football at all, but now's your chance. You got 10 minutes left in the show. You can fire off all your football takes.
too much time. I'm going to upset way too many people.
You know,
all my positive thoughts on, you know, basketball will be wasted for football. No, I mean, we see that, like, if you're just the average fan like myself watching football, you know they got good skill guys. And they're recruiting good skill guys to come in. That's not the issue. It's the defensive and offensive line. It's getting pressure on the quarterback. It's protecting Mason Fine. You know, that's your investment. Mason Fine is like a franchise quarterback, so you better start protecting him like one, and you better, you know, make that a priority. And then the defensive line and the linebackers. If you watch team, you watch UCF play, you watch FAU play, you watch Troy play, any of those high-level, you know, group of five teams, they've got front seven dudes, like dudes that could play at the next level.
Yeah.
And North Texas doesn't have that. I mean, they – and I don't think that they've been able to go out and recruit that yet. And, I mean, at the G5 level, you have to develop. And so either develop or you get a JUCO guy that can be an impact guy. And they haven't gotten – an impact JUCO guy in this group yet, in my opinion. They haven't. And I think you're really hoping that some of the guys out of the last class, like, you know, Thornton, the guy from out in El Paso, you're hoping that he can develop into a good pass rusher because they need that. Like, they really need somebody that it's third down and long, go get the passer.
Yeah, that would solve a lot of those third down issues. Just supporting point here. I think they were thinking that Bryce English was going to be that guy. A couple of the other dudes that they missed on, the Wallace guy, the Ravion Hostin guy. It's not like they haven't been looking or haven't even tried. I think they got unlucky and they were taking some risks and they didn't really pan out. So, I mean, that's pretty normal.
I don't know if English is that guy. Like, he's he's that nose technique that's going to push.
Yeah, well, I think the idea was that if you have him there, then everybody's playing the position that they're supposed to play, and so then you have the pressure coming from the right spots. I understand you. I don't think he was going to be the savior that we all hoped or that was needed when you're looking at the line not being able to tackle. What's it, the guy Silvers, Brandon Silvers from Troy or the Driscoll kid.
We need a dude like UCF had, the one gentleman that, you know, played with the one hand. That's the type of guy we need. Man, he's going to play in the NFL, and it's such a great story. Like, yeah. But, dude, that guy can ball. Like, just watching him, the one time where Stidham from Auburn rolled out to his left, and that guy just got shot out of a cannon. I'm like, who's that? And it's that dude, and I'm like,
yeah,
wow.
He was, I mean, like, last year when UCF was making a little noise against Michigan, he stood out then too. I mean, he's been. I totally agree with you, and I think North Texas has been trying to get some of those guys, and they have missed on those. And to your point about, like, developing these dudes, you look at one. If anybody watched the semifinal games, right, playoff games, Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, you saw an example of what good defensive lines do. I mean, you look at Alabama, they're like, we're going to play two high safeties and we're going to stop your run game with our front four. Also, we're going to get pressure on you with our front four. That's, you know, special rarefied air there. But, obviously if you can beat five guys, six guys with four guys, then you're going to make it real easy on the rest of your defense to play defense.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. And you would hope that someday we get there, but again, when we blitzed a ton this year and we didn't get there.
Yeah, nobody touched anybody.
That was my issue.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That was my issue. So if you're going to blitz, have somebody that's a good enough pass rusher that gets a quarterback. That's all I'm saying. Because the missing aspect of this year was the turnovers. Like, we had the negative, you know, turnover ratio and we still won nine games. And that's a testament to Mason Fine, really, in the offense. For how that unfolded, because you would have thought for as much pressure as we try to bring that we would have forced a few more turnovers, but we really didn't. And, I mean, it wasn't, I mean, we all thought that we had the good secondary going into the year, and it wasn't that they're not good. I mean, they were It was a challenge for them to do what they were asked to do. I mean, you're on an island against, you know, good skill guys out there. The amount of players that they had to play, you know, Southern Miss, their wide receiver, he declared for, you know, the pros this year.
Yeah, Corey Robertson? I mean, they had Robertson, yeah. Lonzie Staggers. Yeah, this league, I mean, Conference USA, as much as everybody wants to rag on it, whatever, we've put skill guys in the NFL. I mean, was it the Louisiana Tech's two guys are in the NFL, right? The guys last year, they were destroying us. And everybody's like, what's going on with our defense? Well, some NFLers are playing like NFLers is what's happening.
Yeah. So you're asking your corners, your safeties, even some of your linebackers, you know, what the one play that really upset me with Troy Rifford was when he had McDonald matched up against Ito Smith from Southern Miss. I wanted to slap that man. Like, how does that matchup happen? How?
Wait, I mean, the funny part, I like watching the film room things because they say all the things that, you know, you kind of think in your head, you know, and I'm like, I'm glad I'm at least some kind of right-thinking human here, right? You got some millionaire coaches out here saying some things I've been saying. I think they're like, when you have a spy, but if your guy can't spy him, right, if he can't keep up with him, then you don't have a spy. It doesn't matter. And that's an example of that. You're like, all right. I'm sure the Southern Miss offensive coordinator was like, they're putting Colton McDonald on Ito Smith? Okay, well, all right, thanks for that. We're going to go ahead and score a touchdown now.
Yeah, so, I mean, there was some frustrating things that happened on the defensive side, and I've aired my grievances on Twitter and upset enough people about that. I mean, the future is bright, you know, but again, they got to get better in the trenches. So I think that's where... I wouldn't be surprised if they're not favored in Conference USA West
next season.
I don't think that they will be. If I, you know, media people, I probably they're going to put Louisiana Tech and, you know, maybe even UAB above us.
Well, I mean, I think it's not unfounded. I mean, you know, you can have as many skill guys as you want, but like you said, it's all about the offense and defensive line. And I always say this on the show. I say it all the time. Football's a very simple game. It's about the lines. I mean, it's like most of your team. It's five guys up there, right? And if those five guys are not winning the battle there, then it doesn't matter, you know, if you have a great quarterback, because he's going to have three or four guys chasing him around. And, you know, he's going to get hit. And you're going to have bad offense. Or on the other side, if you don't have a defensive line or a front seven, linebackers, linemen kind of dudes that can control the line of scrimmage, it doesn't matter if you have great corners, because they're going to have to defend for 5 seconds out there, and maybe one guy in the nation can do that, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see. We also got to see where the coaching staff is, you know, after all the hires and fires out there in the coaching carousel, you know, who raids our staff. And you know, the new news of Rich Rod being fired at Arizona, is Seth Luttrell, is he a candidate there? I mean, who knows? He was an offensive coordinator for them, so maybe they look there. But we're probably going to lose some staffers.
What does he get to you? I think the pretty obvious candidate is Graham Harrell. But I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where he goes exactly. I mean, I thought Eric Morris leaving the coach down here in San Antonio at Incarnate Word was kind of surprising. But I mean, I think the guy saw an opportunity to be a head coach and took it. So then it's not so surprising.
And maybe an opportunity to call his own offense as well.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I don't know. I think the most likely candidate again is probably Graham Harrell. I don't know if Filani is going anywhere. I mean, Jeff Koons was, you know, you never know who wants, you don't know who they're friends with, you don't know what kind of situation they want. You know, right now, I think I like where the staff is at. I like Seth Luttrell. I think he's a solid coach. I mean, he's not going to win some TV battles with Lane Kiffin. I think Lane Kiffin has him pretty well beat there. I don't know that Seth Luttrell is the greatest recruiter. He's not going to beat Butch Davis, or he's not going to beat Lane Kiffin out in the recruiting trail.
Well, I mean, we don't want him to beat Butch Davis, because then we know he's doing something illegal.
Yeah, I mean, we want to have a program in 5 years. Right? We want to get sanctioned. So, I mean, you know, right now it's all about evaluation, and I think they're doing a good job of doing that. I think they're building up the offensive line. Slowly, it's going to be a long they made progress year over year, and so you got to give them some credit for that. Late in the season, there was some issues. Some of that was Mason Fine, you know, having a hitch in his throwing motion, that kind of thing. But, you know, whatever. Yeah, I think the real problem is the defensive line, and I think they're going to try to address that. Some of these guys they got this season, they went JUCO. They got the Saafi guy. I don't know. He's intriguing to me. I know some people are like, hey, he's kind of an also-ran, but he's intriguing to me. We'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, all the teams are in a good spot right now. I can't think of a North Texas program that's in a bad spot. I don't know how the track teams do it, but, you know.
I don't know. How's the baseball team doing?
They're undefeated, I think. Baseball team's undefeated until, I guess, they start playing someday in the future. I mean, it's North Texas athletics is in a good spot. I mean, I'm excited about this. Usually in years past, once we've reached basketball time, we kind of mentioned it, and we didn't really have too much excitement to talk about it. I don't think in the era of the Mean Green Nation podcast we've had a good basketball team. So I'm kind of excited about this one.
I'm very excited about basketball.
Yeah. Should be fun. So what can we expect from you? You're going to be doing these previews and then maybe a recap here and there?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've been trying to do. I know I didn't get the one for Saturday because, you know, just holidays, you know, being lazy, running out of time. But we'll try and definitely, we'll for sure have one for Charlotte, and then I'll make sure if I, you know, nothing major happens, then I'll have one for Old Dominion. But, yeah, we'll try and get those previews out so people can see what we're facing.
Yeah, I mean, I think people like them. I know I read them sometimes because, you know, like I said, I've been a little bit behind on the basketball stuff. And so when I see their plan, I'm like, let me pull up one of Greg's previews right quick and get the lay of the land right here. And I'll read it, especially while the game's going on. I'm like, okay, all right, okay. Let me see if Greg is right on this one.
Yeah, you know, the San Diego game, that was one that, you know, both teams were coming in, playing with a slow pace, and, you know, I was figuring that, and yeah, it just didn't work out that way.
Well, all right. Well, we'll leave it here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Mean Green Nation podcast. We'll see you next week. Well, you won't see us. You'll hear us. You'll hear me. You'll hear Greg. Once again, if any of Greg's hot takes, you're just like, you know what? I can't believe that guy's back on here. Let me send him an email. Send it to podcast@meangreennation.com. I will make sure Greg gets it. I call him up and I read all the email correspondence to him. I'm like, all right, this one's from a sushi owner, sushi shop owner. And he says, look here, son, you don't know the greatness that I, et cetera, et cetera. That's how we do it around here. Greg, you have anything you can say before we go?
No, that's about it.
All right. Go Mean Green.